Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Bill Hubbard is here, too, ladies and gentlemen. William S. Hubbard is our good friend and the author of The New Battle Over Workplace Privacy, among other books, including The Medical Privacy Rule and lots of other stuff. He's our human resources expert in the Brain Trust, and couldn't do without him. Bill, welcome back to the show.
Good morning. Always glad to be here.
It's good to have you back, Bill. What's the news? What's the HR buzz these days?
Well, I was just reading something in the paper yesterday and today about immigration raids.
In the 1,200 or so. They raided in six states. They raided and they got like 1,200 folks.
Yeah, quite a few. And then one of the footnotes that came out of that talked about identity theft issues.
How about that?
And that kind of touched to the issue that was the topic of what I wanted to kind of address today, was protecting your Social Security number in terms of yourself as an individual and in terms of you as an employer, taking care to make sure that you're using that number properly for the specific purposes for which it was intended and not for other purposes beyond that intended use.
Let's slow down for just a minute and go back to these raids. They raided a number of meatpacking companies in six states and literally, you know, arrested or whatever they did with them. I'm not sure. They identified them and sequestered them somehow.
Yeah.
Around 12, 13, 14, I've forgotten. It was way over 1,000 people that they got. That were deemed to be illegal immigrants, but as you say, beyond that, these people actually were carrying on an identity theft practice, weren't they?
That was the sense I got from the article that I read. I didn't really read the full detail, but they identified identity theft.
They're doing that. You know, typically, Bill, when people do identity theft, they're trying to get access to your credit so they can spend your money.
Right.
But these people apparently were, the identity theft was for the purposes of getting people established and presenting them as legal aliens, not legal aliens, but as actual citizens.
As legal citizens, and their intent and purpose primarily is just to get a job.
Exactly. So the interesting thing is you know it would be not unlike me to say, you know, we got a real problem here with the immigration thing, because what if we sent everybody back, you know, and people, they're here doing their job that maybe other people don't want, many Americans don't want. They're doing work that needs to be done. You know, maybe what's the harm in that? Well, now we know there's a little bit more to the story, isn't there?
Yes, there is.
And maybe there is some harm to that. And of course, there are other issues. I don't mean to oversimplify it, but I think this was the first case, Bill, and the reason I wanted to land on it for just a second, this is the first case that I remember where there was actually, you know, sort of a more than one dimension of a crime going on.
Yeah. And with a lot of the immigration issues where there is illegal immigration, a lot of times the question relates to the authenticity of their documentation. And as this story points out, these documents are coming from somewhere. Either they're being manufactured and created, or they're being drawn from somewhere and stolen, in a sense, using somebody else's identity. And so either way, it's creating significant problems, not only for the individual who's purchased it, but for others that are affected because their numbers are inappropriately being used.
And I think the point Bill's trying to make here, for one of the things he's trying to make here is this is probably going to heighten some of the scrutiny of the use of Social Security numbers, of everyone's Social Security numbers, and could create. I could see where there could be possibly, you know how politicians sort of have one thing to happen, they kind of go nuts over it. You know,
sure.
This could be just get ready, folks. And that's the reason why what Bill's about to tell you is probably going to be a lot more important to you than say maybe 2 weeks ago. Go ahead, Bill.
I'm located in the Illinois area, and the Illinois legislature has recently passed a law that basically says you should only use an individual's Social Security number for the specific payroll and tax-related purposes that that number was created. Mm-hmm. And you should not be using that number for other identity or access code kind of information purposes. Only use it for the specific purpose for which it was identified.
Are you saying that I can't check their credit with it? I can't check their driving record or their arrest record or whatever? I can't do that?
No, those issues can occur. But
okay.
The one of the cautions that was identified was relating to using a Social Security number to access a website, for example.
Oh.
And so there's a lot of organizations that have used Social Security numbers for employee ID numbers, for student ID numbers, for access to different records or access to websites. And, for example, there's a local community college where
let me stop you for a second. Are you saying, Bill, that we shouldn't require our employees to use their own Social Security numbers for other things? Is that what we're talking about?
That's my recommendation. Yeah,
okay,
that's
so part of my this is not about telling small business owners not to do something that they know they shouldn't already do. They already shouldn't misapply the Social Security number. You're talking about not making employees use it as a password, so to speak, or something like that.
Don't use it as a password. Don't use it as an employee ID number. Use it for your payroll purposes. But if you've got something else going on that you need an employee ID number, or a health plan benefit number or something of that nature, create an individualized employee number that is not their Social Security number.
You know, Bill, you and I are old soldiers, and I remember when the Army transferred from from serial numbers to Social Security numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And your military ID, you know, when they said name, rank, and serial number, they meant your Social Security number.
I missed that stretch.
Yeah.
I had my own military ID number.
No, you did. I continued to be in, you know, after you got out, I was in for several years after that, and the number went, and as far as I know, the military still uses Social Security numbers as your ID number.
Okay.
And you are. I mean that's how they identify you. Not by anything else. So maybe we need to get you up to the Pentagon, Bill, and let you explain this to them, too. Stand by. 20 after. We'll be right back with Bill Hubbert. William S. Hubbert. His website is Hubbert's, 2B's2T's.com.
House is only another mile.
Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Check it out when you get a chance. Please use it to your advantage. It's free. There's no barrier to entry. All the stuff that's there, 100% of it is free except for the books. And we ask you to pay for those, and we know you understand how that works. Bill's book is The New Battle Over Workplace Privacy. Bill can still get that, can't they?
Yes, they can. I got a book on privacy. I've got the one related to that on HIPAA security, and these are available. The security book is available on CD. The privacy book is available in loose leaf and on CD.
And the HIPAA book is with regard to health insurance privacy.
Privacy and portability,
healthcare privacy, that sort of thing. Privacy and security, by the way, folks. Bill is the expert in the galaxy on that topic. And that's at Hubbert.com, 2Bs, 2Ts. Okay, Bill, we're talking about the various and sundry ways that people should not be using the Social Security number.
Now, you identified the issue of the Social Security number as a military ID.
Mm-hmm.
And that one, my sense would be to say that there's some element in law that allows that to occur.
Well, that they started doing that, Bill, before before the people were stealing identities. I mean, you know, that was almost before credit cards, Bill. I mean, this is, I'm talking dark ages. I mean, if you don't remember it, that dates you pretty darn well, but only because I stayed in after a while for a number of years. I mean, I was part of the old army and the Volar and the new army. Okay. I made that transition. I almost had to have counseling for that, but anyway, I went from the draft age to the volunteer age. That was pretty freaky, but the government they're bad about passing laws for everybody else and not complying with it themselves.
Well, that could be, and I don't know the full facts on that. But if that process is in place, my sense is that element of this whole spectrum is an acceptable process. But for us as employers, my key advice there is, let's use the Social Security number for our payroll purposes, for income tax purposes. If we need it for employment identity eligibility authorization, that's one of the acceptable uses there. And use it for these particular areas and not getting into other areas. Background checks, credit checks also.
What about not putting the Social Security on a name badge or, you know, a lot of times more and more companies have their own security system and you walk up to a little reader and you swipe your badge or you put it in front of it or whatever and it reads your badge. What about not putting it on that sort of thing?
Well, in Illinois now, that's a practice that should be avoided.
Okay.
So I would
think in most states it would be too, and the reason why, Bill, I think that this is very appropriate for you to bring this up is because, you know, I can just see me sitting around, you know, if I didn't know about stuff like this, if I weren't listening to the Small Business Advocate Show where all important business information is revealed, you know, I might say, okay, guys, we got this new security system. Just use your Social Security number as your ID. I can see that happening. I mean, that would kind of make sense. Or your birth. You couldn't use birth dates because some people have the same birth dates.
Right. But everybody should have a unique Social Security number.
I can see that. And what we're saying is, hold your hand out. Don't do that anymore.
Exactly. And years ago, I was kind of that same mindset, but that was before a lot of these problems occurred. I mean, my thought was, well, I've got one number. Why not? It's unique to me. Let me just go ahead and use that. But now as these problems have multiplied, it's a number that I very strenuously guard, and don't want to reveal that unless it's for the specific purpose that we've identified.
Absolutely, and it's the reason why I am very selective about who I give any information to online. And by the way, folks, nobody should ask you for your Social Security number online. There should never be a reason for. I mean, I'm not even sure that you have to do it in e-filing, Bill. Maybe you do an e-filing. Maybe the IRS can do that. What do you think?
I would expect that it would be because that's the key part of the whole taxing process.
Other than e-filing your income tax, folks, I'm going to say, Bill, there should be no reason to give your Social Security number out online. What do you think?
I would really strongly urge that you question that if that issue is being presented to you, because that's one of the issues identified in this law. And while the law doesn't apply to everybody, it does give good guidelines to others in other areas that I would recommend that they strongly consider.
Now, Bill, one other quick thing, sometimes companies have benefits kiosks.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen those where out in the shop or in the factory or somewhere in the office where people can walk up and they can literally go to a kiosk like you'd get money out of an ATM and they can punch in their ID and they can move their benefits around. They can select different benefits.
Right.
Would that be a case of where you need to use a Social Security number or could they just operate off of an ID?
I would recommend there, again, that you use the ID number or some other password number to access that, obviously, somewhere in that system, and that's typically part of a human resources record system.
Well, that's kind of a part of a payroll type of thing, too, isn't it?
Yes, it is, and the Social Security number will be in there, so as that individual's account, so to speak, is being set up, there will be a need to enter that. But for routine access, I would say let's not use the Social Security number.
Okay, all right. 30 seconds. Any more thoughts?
Just protect your number as an individual and as an employer. Limit the use of the Social Security number to the payroll, the tax issues, benefits, and background issues, and not stretch it to other directions.
Well said, Bill. Hey, happy holidays, Bill, to you and yours.
Thank you, and the best to you and all of the listeners.
We sure do appreciate you, Bill. Bill Hubbard, ladies and gentlemen, he's the best. And go to Hubbard.com, two B's, two T's, and take advantage of what he has to offer there. And let him know he will work for you. That's what he does for a living. 29 after. Stay with me. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.